Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonna.
Dave is here with us. Boy, it's good to see you, David. We have an exciting program lined up for our listeners today. We're going to talk about the morning routines and the routines and habits that you have in your life and how effective they can be. And it's very important to try to understand the sensitivity of doing God's work the way God wants you to do it every day. It's just a proving point. Prayer is reaching. It's reaching for divine assistance. And that's what prayer does. So if you have prayer as part of your morning routine, then you know that you're doing the right thing. That's a good start. Prayer involves God in your marriage. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 reads that way. So embrace prayer as a divine instrument for your healing. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. 2 Kings chapter 20. So in other words, if you have these shortcomings, limitations, and who doesn't? We all have had difficulties here and there. Pray for healing. Pray for wholeness. The Bible tells us to do that. Set aside a specific place or a room for this divine appointment each morning with the Holy Spirit. In other words, take the time each day separately, and you'll form a habit out of it, a routine. And I have sanctified my special room as the secret place. Name your place, whatever inspires you. Call it the upper room, the war room, my garden of prayers, whatever you prefer. Then keep a basic plan. The secret of your success is always hidden in your daily routine. Lots of books have been written about the word habit. Remember, I think it was Stephen Covey wrote the book of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Remember that one? I saw it some 20 years ago. Very powerful book, and I remember reading it and then listening to the tapes, and I had a lot going on. So those kind of things are very important to understand the sensitivity. The Bible tells us the same thing. In fact, where do you think those dynamic speakers got their information? It comes from the Bible. So let's take a look at the other areas of your spiritual authority. You know, you have an advisory. Remember, everything good is despised by everything that's evil. I remember reading that in a note someplace. I wrote that down. The book of Job documents this when Satan complains to God about the loyalty of Job. Remember that? Identify the person or method that Satan uses to introduce anger or agitation or contention. You know, is it a television show that stirs up jealousy or envy or fear? Is there a relationship that feeds conflict or unrest in your marriage? Pinpoint it honestly, and then address it in the privacy of your prayer life. Accept the Holy Spirit as the power source that honors your position of authority over evil influences. See, the Bible talks about that as well. You see, any uncontested enemy will flourish. Let me read something out of 1 John here. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 reads that way. Dominate your home environment daily with power praying. Walk through your home singing and worshiping and confessing the word of God out loud. speaking to yourself in the Psalms or hymns or spiritual songs, singing to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to do that. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this home. Nothing will be permitted that offends you. We bind and remove every evil spirit from this home in the name of Jesus, and that's be our faithful prayer. Amen to say amen. David, I would quite imagine that not only in your professional life, but in your private life too, you have probably sensed the fact that you have to stay loyal to the Lord, and because the devil is chewing away at us all the time, continuously. You have any words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners on that subject?
Well, if I get up every morning and reach for the juice, we juice in our home. Mm-hmm. So I get my big glass of juice, start with that. And then comes the cup of coffee. And then comes the broadcast. Hear myself every day. Judy and I love that. When it's over, then we have our family prayer. When you learn how to pray early in the morning, you'd be surprised how many times during the day you have an opportunity to pray again. Judy has been sick for a couple of weeks, got a terrible infection. You know, when you went to the hospital, you had to put a gown on and a hat and gloves. And man, I walked in the room and said, what in the world does Judy have? Said she has an infection. It's going to take a long time to get rid of it, and you have to be careful. It's contagious. You pray a different prayer.
That's right.
Some people, they've never built a highway to heaven. When it's time to pray, they look up and it's a steep hill, and there's a lot of trees, and they go around the trees, and then there's bushes, and there's a ravine, and by the time they get to God, it's, you know,
played out.
It's finished.
Yeah.
I just read a story. Maybe it fits here.
Okay.
There's two girls. They lived in Dallas, Texas, and they had been shopping at the mall. And when they were ready to go home, got out of the mall, it was dark. Boy, from the exit, they saw the car. It was the only one left in the parking lot. They were nervous. They were hoping that some other customers would come along so they could all walk out together. And they were aware of the crime wave in the area, especially at the malls. And Dad had said, please, don't stay too late. So they shifted their packages and pushed open the door and walked as fast as they could through all the mess. Nobody there but just them, and they just made it. They shoved the key into the door lock again, reached across to help each other get inside their car very quickly because there was nobody else around. And then they heard the sound of running feet. And all of a sudden, they looked around and saw that they had a couple of men coming behind and running toward them. And one of the men shouted out that, we got you. You're not going anywhere. They looked and panicked. They were just locked inside the car door, inside on the seats. And then they tried to start the engine. Nothing happened. She tried over and over and over again, and click and silence and click and silence and no power. And the men were getting ready to smash the window. And they stopped and prayed. They knew how to do that. Lord, we only have a couple seconds left here, and we're gonna be hurt or something. And could you help us in this moment of panic? They joined together and they prayed. God, you got to do something. You got to give us a miracle right now. We're in trouble. And as they finished their prayer, the engine roared to life, pulled their down their gears down into go, let's get out of here. They cried all the way home, thanking God. They were shocked. They were relieved. They screeched into the driveway, pulled the car into the garage, and burst into the house, spilling out their story to Mom and Dad. And Dad said, well, you're safe, girls. Thank the Lord we prayed. That's the main thing. But don't do it again. And the father said, you know, it's strange. That car has never failed to start. I want to check it out. I want to go out there and open up the hood and see what in the world is the first time ever. And in the garage, he raised the hood and he realized who had brought his daughters home safely that night. He searched the front of the car and could find no battery at all. That'll change your life.
Sure would.
That'll change your prayer life. I think everybody that listened to us right today can remember a moment when they prayed and God performed a miracle. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
So start your day off early with, hey, God, we got a whole day here. What are we going to do? And will you help us? And if there's a problem that happens, will you be there with a miracle to hand to us? I mean, after all these years, I should have written a book about the miracles that happened just like that.
Wow. That's an impressive story.
Now, you got a big car. You got a big battery.
Yeah.
You probably don't have to worry about that. But there's other little things in your life that probably don't go so easy as opening up the hood of your car and seeing
that
big brand new battery ready to make the car go.
That's exactly right.
And people that are listening to us today, they're right in the middle of that. They're in the middle of the phone call that just changed their life. And tears have been rolling down their cheeks for the last hour. And they're tuned our way and they're saying, hey, maybe there's hope for me too. Maybe there's help that comes from God. I like that idea. And I you picked a good subject today.
Well, you sure did.
Why pray?
Well, that was what we're talking about, the power of prayer and a good habit of starting out every day with prayer.
And you don't have to go through the forest and climb the hill and go around the trees get in the mud. And
no excuses.
No,
just do it.
You've already paved the road. You've graveled it, and you've reached out and straightened everything straight to God. And when somebody says we're going to pray, you cannot have to go through 30 things of trying to get to God. You can say, God, I'm here, and the road is straight as a string.
Yes, it is.
And it's smooth. It's been straightened out to where you have no one pushing you aside. That moment is yours, and God will hear you when you pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my friend. That's powerful words of inspiration. I am truly stirred by your words today. I like that thought process. It is a powerful witness that we need to pray continuously, and we should never discount the power of prayer. Thank you very much, Dave. I'm looking at the prayer and these habits that we're talking about in terms of saving marriages, and that's been a problem of late. I'd just like to touch on that for a minute, if I might, about staying discreet of problems that you might have in your marriages. Talk magnifies everything. When you talk about your problems to everyone, you perpetrate the memory of them. It positions you as a victim and delays any efforts you might have to recover. You see, bad news is remembered longer than good news. So be careful. Don't ever say anything negative or derogatory to anybody about your spouse. Male or female, doesn't matter. The wise never discuss their problems with somebody incapable of solving their problems. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to share a difficulty? Because people are people and some are very shallow. With half a story, the words get spread about, and the next thing you know, everyone is thinking the negative things that they shouldn't be thinking. Problem talk portrays you as a victim and not as an overcomer. Nobody backs losers. When Job lost everything, remember talking about Job? Everyone avoided him. And it was only when God doubled his blessings that others returned to participate in his life. So you have to be careful to make sure you're only saying positive things. Don't ever say derogatory, nasty things, hurtful things about your spouse. Now, invest the time in discovering these goals and the dreams and the gifts that you have in your spouse. You know, diamonds are deep into the earth, and gold requires unending search and scrutiny. And that's where your marriage should be, too. Your mate is the gold mine divinely bestowed to you. God gave you what you needed, not what you necessarily earned. You have no rights to anything you have not pursued. So if you have a good spouse, consider yourself quite fortunate. Not everybody can say that. Keep a love journal with your spouse. Memory is a gift or a curse. Hey, it could be either one. Your mind has two dominant functions, the imagination and the memory. Let's face it, your imagination mentally pre-plays your future events. But your memory does the opposite. Your memory mentally replays the past events. So decide the kind of life that you want to live. And remember, some things are basics, such as remembering birthdays, remembering anniversaries, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, New Year's. Those things that we all have to remember. So put those in your memory bank. Surprise moments in humorous situations or memorable vacations. Those kind of things require your planning or your decision-making or readiness. So plan those things out. Collect pictures of the events and places that you want to experience together. See, there's a good way to make sure you have your love journal and you're looking down the road seeing future things together. Use pictures to record memorable and loving moments. Keep a throwaway camera around. They still make those things. Keep one in the glove compartment of your car, or in your briefcase, or in your kitchen, wherever, and try to record those things that are significant in your life. Worth remembering helps you to remember the past. Seize any moment worth celebrating and magnify it. Others will remember wrong moments, so you must aggressively capture the scenes and the sounds that will become, well, they'll become your memories in the future. So all of those things are rather important. If you're going to have a happy, harmonious marriage, you have to try to do these things together with your spouse. Make good memories. Make positive memories. Plan for the future. And make them a habit. Make them part of your life. That's just good common sense to have a solid marriage. When you're looking at a solid marriage, finances are always a subject, an object, aren't they? Decide, make a decision how wealthy you want to be. That's what it boils down to, a decision. You see, money is a tool. Money builds the environment in the home, the circumstances that you dream about. Money is a communicator that enables you to give gifts, pictures of remembrance. Gift talks about your love when you feel incapable of choosing the appropriate word. Embrace the financial philosophies and beliefs established by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. The Scriptures are full of those words. The Scriptures teach us that prosperity is the will of God, that diligence, integrity, obedience, parental respect, productivity, tithing, and wisdom are the seven master foundation stones of financial wealth. It's all recorded in the Bible. Read it in Psalms chapter 112. You see, wisdom matters. Choose a financial mentorship program that you, both of you, you and your spouse, both value. You can check with your friends or your financial advisor. They'll recommend books for you, publications to read, study. Set aside 2 hours weekly to review all your financial matters with your spouse. Review them honestly and completely. Information always breeds confidence. So if you share your thoughts with your spouse, you're creating a very harmonious environment. Define clearly what you expect to happen from all this. The enemy of peace is confusion. Yeah, there shouldn't be any confusion. Keep your lines of communication open. Nations, family, and people fragmented because of wrong words, unclear motives, and undefined goals happens a lot. Recognize that your greatest gift to another is an opportunity to become a giver instead of a taker. Taking comes easy. That's real simple, isn't it? It seems to be a human nature. Think of the newborn baby reaching for the milk. Without attending any seminar on it, they didn't have to learn any of that. It comes natural. You see, those who continuously receive must be given the master gift, the opportunity to become a giver. Bitterness is the product of unexplained behavior. I have to confess, Dave, but that happened to me once. I remember when I was working over at Mission Central. I was over there helping, and the gentleman who run the entire organization, their executive director, was taking everybody out for a Thanksgiving lunch. And we all said, wow, man, there must have been 30 people working on that particular day. We're all volunteers, of course. He wanted to take us out and buy Thanksgiving dinner for all of us. And I said, hey, Harry, you know, geez, that's going to be pretty expensive. Can I help pay for some of this? And he says, Giff, he says, you're very good at giving, but you're not very good at receiving. And I never forgot that. So I think, and that's part of your financial plan. It seems like everybody is strong one way or the other. They're either strong givers or they're strong receivers. And the truth is, we all need to balance that out. We need to be able to give freely and openly, and we also need to be able to receive graciously as people want to share with us, particularly your spouse, your family members. God loves a gracious giver. David, I know that you're some kind of a financial guru in your own right. Do you have any pearls of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners on the relationship between husband and wife and their finances? I think this is a powerful subject.
It's very powerful. In fact, Judy and I have spent all of our years having learned how to talk about it so that we could be on the same page. Mm-hmm. When you work for the Lord and you don't have an income, you have to rely on money coming from other places. Those are exciting days, and when you can pray about it together, talk about it together, and go to the mailbox together and receive together, it's exciting. It is unbelievable what happens when you begin to believe with each other. It makes you want to just think, wow, what's next? What is the Lord going to do that for us? When you hear about somebody else, I live that way. I live in the fact that there are days when we think we just can't pay that bill. It's just, where did that $1,000 come from? Why do we owe that? And it takes a different kind of a prayer when you got to pray in the next 5 days over $1,000 you don't have. You can't do it on your own. You can't carry these burdens by yourself. If you're in trouble with your finances, make sure that you get involved with your husband or your wife, either way, so that you can together not only comfort one another, but when the gift comes, the thrill of that kind of a blessing makes married life absolutely the most contagious love affair ever. I live my life that way. I'm going from pillar to post, and every day seems to get sweeter and sweeter as the Lord comes with his special blessings. And I don't want to brag about them, but every once in a while you just need to talk about what God has done for you.
That's exactly right, and I quite agree, and I understand what you're saying. We should be on our hands and knees every day thanking the good Lord for his gracious gifts that he's given to us. David, we're going to have to pick this subject up again another time.
You mean it's
time.
Over already?
Oh, my, I know. It seems to go so fast. We've exhausted our time. I'm sure our listeners are saying, give me more. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it again tomorrow or again real soon. Until we meet again, it's bye-bye for now.
Thank you, Giff. God bless you. Let's do it again.